good to be able to pray, isn't it? It's good to be able to just enter with the presence of the Lord. Whatever you have, whatever you need, you can come to Him. Amen? You come into the presence of the Lord. He is immediately there. Amen? Thank God. So when you come into the presence of the Lord, come in how? With thanksgiving. Into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is mean. No, it doesn't say that. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generation. I'm glad how God made Psalm 100 a kind of easy address, right? You know, when I picked my address for the house that we built, you know, I was able to make it 400. You know, not 401, not 409, not 411, you know, 400. So I like addresses that are simple. Psalm 100 is great. You know, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Come before His presence with singing. Enter His gates. So let's learn how to enter His gates. Amen? Amen. How many know that America is not His gates? Jesus is His gates. The gates of the Lord is coming in through Jesus. Jesus Christ. He is your Savior. He is your Lord. He loves you. In fact, He told you that the Father Himself loves you. So many people, you know, thought God was the big mean guy. You know, Jesus came to save me from the Father. No, Jesus came to introduce you to the Father because the Father Himself. He said, Philip, you know, if you've known me, you've known the Father. The Father Himself loveth you. Amen? Just a little encouragement. Amen. I'm feeling better now. I'm feeling encouraged now. Are you? Are you being encouraged right now? Amen. Just let the Lord encourage you right now, today. He is all for you. You know. So like I shared a little bit last night when Job said, in the middle of his worst times, in Job 23:10, he says, for He knows, talking about God, for He knows the way that I take. And when He has tried me, I will come forth as gold. Amen. So God knows right where you are. He has not lost you. He hasn't misplaced you. It's like the guy who lost his sheep. Well, God helped him find that one sheep. He had 100 sheep. One of them was lost. He searched and searched until he found that sheep. But God knows right where you are. For He knows the way that I take. Job was in trouble, right? You know, he was even fighting his friends. His friends were trying to figure out, okay, Job, come on. We know you sinned somewhere. That's what everybody... And you have sinned. Don't make no mistake. You have sinned. I mean, we sin almost... pretty much daily, you know, some kind. But God has made a provision for that sin, hasn't He? He's made provision for that. He said, if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So when are you forgiven? As you confess your sin. You know, most people, oh God, forgive me. No, He's already done it. He's already purchased the forgiveness. You just need to grab it. Just receive it. Believe it. Believe that forgiveness belongs to you. Believe that forgiveness belongs to you. Believe that the presence of God and His love and His grace and His mercy belongs to you. Believe it right now. Believe it today. If you came in without it, get it here. If you didn't quite get it before you walked out of here, it's available on the way out. Amen? In fact, it's available when you get in your car. It's available when you lay your head down. It's available when you raise up. It's available when you're eating. When you sit down. When you rise up. When you go in. When you come out. In the country and in the city. His grace and His mercy are available for you. Enjoy them. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I'm forgiven. So, I don't know why I'm talking about this. This isn't even close to the message this morning. But this is your message. This is my message, is that I'm always happy. I'm always at peace. Janet will say, no, you're grumpy sometimes. Well, maybe I'm grumpy sometimes, but I don't ever believe that God forsook me or that He didn't like me or that He was angry with me. I know I messed up, but I know I'm always forgiven. It's not, And it's not just taken for granted. It's like, this is weird. This is amazing. How God, through Jesus, forgives me. And he's transforming me and changing me so that I'm no longer angry at the guy that cut me off in the highway or cut me off at the red light or didn't bring me enough jelly, you know, for my toast. You know, people, we get angry at all kinds of things. Irritability. We're just irritable. Anybody has seen how irritable you can be? You know, because you deserved it better. No, you didn't. You deserved death. I deserved death. But God, through Jesus, gave me life. And I can help somebody else find that. I can help somebody else find life. But really, just because of the smile on my face. Because I forsook complaining and yelling and crying. You know, people can tell a lot about you when you're at a restaurant. You know, because you'll take that server to task. Amen? Or on the road. You know, we can talk about, you know, Pastor Jim and I'd be driving somewhere, driving to Austin or something like that. He'd be sitting right here in the front. He wishes he was driving. Because he could pass that guy in front of me that I wasn't passing. So he's not only mad at that guy for being ahead of us, but he's mad at me for not passing him. You know, come on, you could get around him. Because we have all of these certain things that get us worked up and riled up. Anybody have one of those? Or two of those? Or four or five of those things? They just get your goat. You know, and the devil knows it, so he'll bring one. He'll bring another one. He'll bring another one. He'll bring another one. He'll bring something that'll get your goat every day and cause you to focus on that instead of focusing on his grace.
Call it bitterness.
Bitterness, that's one of them. You know, pride, right? All of them. Is it, you know, anger, fear? You know, he'll get you with fear. Because he knows you're good for that one. You know, he can always get you. He'll tell his right-hand man, he said, watch this. He'll throw something out in front of you, and you'll just go, you know, you just get it. Well, you correct in a moment. You know, you ever notice that? You correct fairly quickly, right? Don't you correct fairly quickly? Hopefully you don't punch somebody in the face or ram them with your car or, you know. Or eat three pieces of pecan pie. You know, all kinds of things that you might do. God is delivering you from your flesh. Because he's indwelling you. He's on the inside of you. He's indwelling you. And that's so powerful. Because this is the work of God. To demonstrate his power on the inside of you. He's doing it. Say he's doing it. Say he's doing it. See, a lot of people say, you know, he ain't getting very far with me. No, don't agree with that. Agree with when we're talking about Joshua. You know, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. The word of God will not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. What do you meditate on? Your failure? No, you meditate on his provision. You meditate on what he did that was good. You meditate on what he did that will set you free. Say that I'm free. You say this, I'm not making it. But you know, I'm free. You know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, seems like a flood. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against it. What the standard is, a flag. It's God's flag. God's flag says, I own this. This is mine. You guys scat. Get out of here. I own, this brother, this sister is my property. This is my beloved. They do not follow after their own stuff. They follow after me. Because I love them and they love me and they love what I love. Do you know you love who God loves? There's a lot of people that God loves that I know you don't love in your natural man. But you're not a natural man anymore, are you? You're not natural anymore. You're supernatural. Because the living God lives on the inside. He's holy. He's full of mercies. He's full of joy. He's full of peace. And so am I. I'm full of joy. I'm full of peace. This is who I am. Doesn't appear so some days, but I don't count that. I don't count that. I repent of that. Said, Lord God, that was wicked. That was evil. Father, thank you for delivering me. Amen. Hallelujah. That was all free. Amen. Thank the Lord. And a couple of weeks ago in Fort Worth, I shared some things about, you know, of course, it's, you know, July 4th and Independence Day. When you're preaching, sometimes you're supposed to preach on stuff that's happening. And what was happening at that time, of course, is our celebration as a nation. You know, how many know God celebrates his nations sometimes? God celebrates his nations, and they celebrated Israel, didn't he? Didn't he celebrate? He created the nation of Israel because it was his people. He made a nation out of them. He took them out of Egypt, and he created a nation out of nothing. Out of a promise that he had made to Abraham. And it looked like that was gone, didn't it? Didn't it look like that nation was gone, that promise was gone? I mean, Abraham got he had one son. First of all, you know, I'm going to make the father of many nations. Yeah, guy had, you know, it's kind of like one of those little cartoons where a little thing, just a little flower just buds out in one little, and it got to go, and all of a sudden you get one bud, that's it. And so that looked like Abraham, just one little bud. One little bud didn't look like anything. Oh, man, what a disappointment. Didn't Abraham look like a disappointment? You know, he just had one son. Then you got Isaac. Well, he had at least two. He had twice as many. Isaac had twice as many boys. Then you had Jacob. He had 12. Man, this thing is picking up steam. And of course, you know, then they end up both out of Egypt. They thought this was great. They had their one son that did well and brought him into Egypt, put him in the best land, put him in the best spot. And all of a sudden, over the next 430 years, they just became slaves. Oh, man, that was the end of that. That was the end of that nation, right? All of a sudden, God delivered them, created them as a nation. The nation has come and gone. But the scripture has told us that that nation was going to rise again. And it did. In a day. A nation shall be made in a day. In 1948, the nation of Israel rose again. Became a nation. Now, were they believing in Jesus? No. But the nation that we bless is who? Abraham. We bless, when we're blessing Israel, we're blessing faithful Abraham, aren't we? I mean, it's not the political Israel. You know, they're full of all kinds of problems like we are. But we bless the covenant that Israel made, God made with Israel, with Jacob. And with that, we bless them and we're blessed. Amen? God raised this nation, the United States. Somebody are going to say, okay, it wasn't a Christian nation. You know, it was a secular nation. But it made room for everybody to believe in Jesus. It said, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Amen. God is doing a mighty thing. God is doing a mighty thing. And I want to look at that today. I want to look at that and talk about what God does in us, because he's given us a nation to cultivate so that the gospel can reach the entire world. Why did God create Israel? To perpetuate the gospel. God created a covenant society to build his gospel. God created that. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. This guy is up and running. He's at every meeting. Glory to God. Amen. Thank God. Raul, good to see you, brother.
Did you bow that part? Did you bow that?
She's the valet. I want to. Pastor Jim and I worked for many, many years together. And the reason we became involved in any kind of politics is not for politics. It's not for politics. It's for the gospel. Amen? So, politics is just many, it means many opinions. That's all politics means. It just means many, the word politics just means many opinions. It's just a description. There's nothing evil about it. It's people who make it, the people who make it a problem. But I'm going to read from Jim's, we dedicate, as many of you know, we dedicate the church each year. Dedicate ourselves, dedicate our property, the property God has given us to use. Amen? So the church doesn't own property. You know, contrary to the Catholic Church and all kinds of churches, church just uses property. Church just uses it. Now I'm going to share with you a few thoughts. When we meet together on January 1st each year, and this was written originally January 1st, 2013. We started doing this back in 1998, back when Esther was born. You know, religious liberty is a gift of God, written by the finger of the Creator upon the heart of every man. It cannot be removed by any creature under heaven, and it stands permanent and ineradicable, unerasable. Number two, religious liberty, though ordained of God and written on the heart of every man, is often denied by other men or by their governments. This happens whenever some beastly tyrant decides to set up his own religious preference and forces it upon every inhabitant, compelling them to be subject to it in violation of their conscience. Now, somebody will say, well, I don't see that that's happened here, except for the fact that there are secular thoughts and ideas and beliefs that are being imposed upon the entire people of the United States. There are people who get fired if you use the wrong pronoun. There are people who get fired if you don't agree with certain concepts. It affects your life. Amen? I mean, how many know that employment is just about like slavery? Yeah, unless you work for yourself. Now, of course, you can get canceled. Jack, I guess you can get canceled. You know, and it's happened because of things that you will and won't do in your business. Yeah. Willis, I don't know how much that happens in the roofing business. I mean, you may say the wrong thing and somebody doesn't agree with you and say you're off that job. Yeah. Or I'm not going to hire
you. Every day.
Mm-hmm. And Raul works for a company in particular. And of course, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of opportunities to break all of their social opinions, you know. Yeah. And so all of these things is working for somebody is basically, you know, when slaves, and this is not diminishing at all or exalting the idea of slavery, but the idea that you had a home, you had a house, you were fed generally. You had a house, somewhat. You had something. You had certain provisions. I'm not saying this is good or, you know. But then, if you did evil, if you defied the master, you could be killed. You could be whipped. You could be, you know, any number of things. Your family could have been destroyed. Same thing is true here. Is that if you work for a company, you can be fired. You can have your benefits taken away from you. All of these things because you work for this person or this company, and you can be destroyed by believing the wrong thing. Same thing is true in China with these. They've got these, and now they're having this social networking score, and they keep track of you. They keep track of what you're posting and what you're saying and what your opinions are. And you reduce your liberties and freedoms and benefits as you are followed by this government. And that, you know, it would not be surprising to see that happen here. Certainly you see it happening in a general social sense, not necessarily a particular government sense, more closer to your employer than the government, but certainly just by a social sense, is that you are ostracized if you do not believe certain things or follow certain things. So here, we're talking about that, is that compelling them to be subject into a particular thoughts in violation of their own conscience. Number three, the history of the human race is the story of political, social, economic, and religious tyranny, whereby the people are not permitted to enjoy the full benefits of religious liberty, but rather are compelled to submit to a religious worship which may not be the religion of one's own persuasion and heartfelt conviction. Feel like you're listening to Pastor Jim talk? Number four, nevertheless, every man has a natural and undefeatable right to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience without external force. That sentence right there is in the Texas Constitution. That sentence right there is Article 1-6, a part of Article 1-6 of the Texas Constitution. Again, I'm going to read it. Every man has a natural and indefeasible right to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. Yay, Texas. Way to go. That's pretty awesome. Number five, and again, these are out of Pastor Jim's book, Religious Liberty, our founding pastor, who's with the Lord. And God the Almighty could force us all, but has sworn never to force any man. Though he has the power to do so, God forces no man's heart. Number six, nature leaves every man free to worship nature. Leaves every man free to worship as he individually pleases. This natural liberty is the foundation of all human dignity, value, and worth. Thus we understand, number seven, that all human life and happiness depends upon every man's duty, right, and freedom to be self-governing under nature and nature's God, which every just government does acknowledge and protect in the fear of God. Every just government does and acknowledge and protect the fear of God. See, this nation, when created, though it is not a Christian nation in the sense that, okay, everybody in here is a Christian. No. But what it does is the laws of God and nature's God sets the tone and the setup to where you are have every opportunity to believe and see the Creator for yourself. And that everybody has an opportune and an equal way of coming in and speaking to the government, the consent of the governed. God did that. God did that. You know, when over in Exodus chapter 18, when he told Abraham, or told Job, Moses, through his father-in-law, his secular father-in-law, by the way, you know, Jethro, his father-in-law, was not a Christian, or was not an Israelite, was not part of the covenant. He was a Midianite. But he comes in with a good idea, because God gives wisdom. Really, kind of indiscriminately, God gives wisdom so that all men can find him. God gives wisdom so you can see in the world that there is a God. All of these scientists, Galileo, Da Vinci, Newton, Isaac Newton, all of these guys who discovered great things, they discovered them because God showed it to them. Isn't that true in Romans chapter 1? Every man knows because God has showed it to them. Every person knows there is a living God. They can deny it, but every man knows there is a living God because God showed it to him. God, every man knows that, you know, a man and a woman together is of God. Every man knows that a man and a man together is not God. It's a rebellion. Every man knows it, yet they choose it because God lets them choose it. He said he gave them up unto vile affections. He didn't stop them. He gave them up. But what's going to happen is you will die, and you will likely die in shorter period of time. There are things that we do that we will die because we put ourselves out in front of a moving train. Hey, I'm going to play on this track. This is fun. I love this. This is great. Look at these two rails. Cutting a little. Man, I think I'll sit here in the track and just study it. Well, one day, that's not going to work out well for you. You might get your toe stuck in the track. You might not be able to get out, and all of a sudden, bam, and you're gone. God has set laws in the earth, and every man knows because he wrote it on their heart. He wrote it on their heart. Nature leaves every man free to worship as he individually pleases. Worship, it doesn't mean just praying. It means to live your life in a way that is submitted to something other than God. Number seven, thus we understand that all human life and happiness depends on every man's duty, right, and freedom to be self-governing under nature and nature's God, which every just government does acknowledge and protect in the fear of God. So that's what the United States did. He protected the right. They protected the right of every person. They protected the right of the minority. So even the majority cannot rule because we protected the right of the minority. How powerful. What a powerful concept to rule by God's laws under the liberty to make a choice. Number eight, as he lay dying, the God of Israel spoke to King David, King David said, he that rules over men must rule justly, ruling in the fear of God. Number nine, we've got a bunch more, but I'm going to just read the first 10. Justice requires that no positive law or government of men must ever destroy, inhibit, limit, control, or interfere with this essential religious duty, right, and liberty, which God himself has irrevocably granted to every man. So, now, justice requires that no positive law. Positive law is this. Positive law is be good. Do good. Commanding you to do a good thing. God will never command you to do a good thing. His law said, do not. His law says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. He tells you how to not offend or destroy your fellow person, human being. Amen? Goodness only comes through your relationship with God. Goodness toward your brother, toward your neighbor, only comes through a relationship with God. God does not command positive. Here in this nation, we have too many positive laws which are, you know, commanding you to do the right thing, to do good. You know, the law that God says to commands for a man to is to not do harm to your neighbor. Amen? Is to not do harm to your neighbor. That's the laws under man. Now, God can speak to your heart and change your heart. Number 10, Under our particular form of free Republican, little r, just all that means is representative government. Okay? Under our particular form of free representative government, such as we all currently enjoy in this nation and state, United States and Texas, every particular church and religious society stands equally free and self-governing, constitutionally immune from the general powers of government. In other words, the free exercise of religion is free. Is it, you know, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise of a religion. In other words, Congress makes no law to establish. In other words, many of the states actually, before the United States was conceived and initiated, many of the states had state churches, national church, colonial churches. Virginia, you know, was the Church of England. You know, some other places were Catholic. So several of the states had their own churches, and the church was supported by the state taxes because it was a state church. The United States says, okay, the United States is not going to have any national church. Nobody will be forced to pay taxes to support any national church. The separation of church and state is not for the purpose of keeping the state out of the church out of the state, but for the purpose of keeping the state out of the church. The keeping the government out of the church, keeping them totally separate. Doesn't mean the church, as individuals, we cannot have a direct involvement in the government as the people of God, even corporately as the people of God. But if the church itself is separate, the church of God is a separate kingdom. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." But the fact is that you and I, we are citizens of this world. We are citizens of this nation. Therefore, as loving our neighbors, we have a vested interest in legislation that is loving to our neighbors. And if you have the power and authority to change that legislation, unlike, say, for instance, if you're in Iran or in China or in Russia, you may not have that opportunity. You may take one shot at it and get shot yourself, put in prison for life, then you have a prison ministry. It'd be great. I mean, anything that happens is great. You know, God can use you anywhere. You know, just do what He tells you when He tells you. You know, sometimes God will let people get in prison. Sometimes He'd deliver them from prison. Remember how Peter got himself in prison, and then the angel came in there. I mean, he was so content in prison, sleeping, that the angel had to wake him up. Hey, he smote him. It said, the Bible, how do you know that, Pastor? Because he smote him on the side. And And he woke him up, and he got him up, and the chains fell off of his hands. And he led him out through the lower chambers to the upper chambers, and the doors, prison doors, opened of their own accord. You know God can do that? He can open the prison doors of His own accord, and all of a sudden he finds himself out here. And it all seemed like a dream, and he came to himself, but he was outside the prison. So he went over to Mary's house, and, you know, dum, 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 dum. And they're praying for him because they knew he was in prison. And they're praying for him. And the little girl who answers comes to the door. Yeah, because the door's locked because they're afraid. Because they're praying for Peter. And, you know, everybody hates the church right now. So she looks at, oh, it's Peter. So she shuts the door back and goes back in there. I'm just extrapolating from the story that's in the Bible. That she goes back, oh, Peter's at the door. Well, he's standing outside. He's still standing outside. You know, dum, 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 dum. He's still knocking, you know. And, well, let him in, honey. And so they finally let him in, and he told, you know, related the story of how God delivered him out of the prison. Well, God could do all that, amen? But sometimes He actually has you go do things that will actually be a successful endeavor in politics. In the business of many opinions. That's what politics is. I said it a while ago. is that it just means many opinions. And so a lot of people don't like your opinion. That's okay. But God says, thou shalt not kill. So if you got a little baby in a womb, don't kill it. That's a person. That's an individual. Do not kill. Why do people are desperately working, and thank God, you know, for overturning Roe versus Wade. Thank God for that. But I mean, now you got to do it in the states, because now you got some states that are promoting it. You know, hey, let's have babies and let's kill babies until they're even after they're born. Let's see, it's got brown eyes. No, kill him. You know. All of these people are just because it's convenience. It's Moloch. It's a religion of convenience. Don't slow me down. You don't want to have that baby? Well, first of all, you shouldn't have done what causes babies. You know, that's why we say don't have sex before marriage. Because then you don't have an infrastructure to care for a child. Then you're like, well, boy, I'm in a pickle now. I'm going to have a baby and I don't have any support. And nobody wants this baby. I guess we'll have to just kill it. You know, I mean, here's a mentality that the enemy has come up with to say, here's a great idea on how to solve this problem. We'll just kill it. And it's a person, for crying out loud. You know, I mean, you don't want people killing you, do you? You know, let's say you're an inconvenience. I think we'll just kill you. You know, isn't that true? You know, that's why we got this... That's why we got this depopulation move going on, you know, is that we got all these people having babies all over the world, billions and billions of babies, and now we want to kill them all. We want to steal all their food from them and kill them, you know, because we got too many people. Hey, let's just save them. Let's just get them born again, amen? That's what we need to do, is get people born again. So God's got plenty of food. God's got plenty of provision. He's got provision for everybody. If you get born into this world, God's got provision for you. Amen? We don't have to kill you so that you won't eat my food. We don't have to do that because we have a living God. He said in the garden, said, there's plenty of food. There's plenty of food all over this garden. Eat. Enjoy yourselves. Be fruitful and multiply. What does that mean? Make more. It means make more kids. Whoa, wee, whoa! You know, this world doesn't want to do that. They don't like that idea. So now, let's see, did I finish this? No. So under our particular form of government, such as we currently enjoy in the United States and Texas, every particular church and religious society stands equally free and self-governing, constitutionally immune from the general powers of government, forever accepted out and protected by the high powers of the Bill of Rights, which expressly forbids the government from making any laws which inhibit the free exercise of religion, with none violated in conscience and none persecuted in the body or goods, or with none favored or legally established in the eyes of the law. So that's good enough for now. Now, so that's the foundation of what we believe, you know, as far as in this church particularly, but the fact that religious liberty is something that's granted by God to everybody. Now here, I want to go into, what do our documents look like? And I'm not going to read them all, but for instance, the relationship of the people of God's in the Church of Jesus Christ and the United States of America is what we'll talk about for a minute. The Mayflower Compact, which was made by, it's a very short document made by the travelers on the Mayflower boat in 1620. And it said these things in November 11th of 1620. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. That's the beginning of the Mayflower Compact. So their mission. Having undertaken for the glory of God, one, and for the advancement of the Christian faith. That was the Mayflower people. Now, there were people on there who were just interested in business. They got on that boat and they came on, you know. But the reason here, and it's going to state the reason that they're putting this together, but they're giving this as a preamble to it. And in honor of the king and king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. Well, they ended up in Cape Cod, up in Massachusetts. And they decided if they're going to get off the boat, they better have some kind of a plan. Otherwise, it's every man for himself. So when they're getting off this boat, we're going to have a plan so that we can all live. Because, I mean, we're getting off into a wilderness. We don't even know what this is. So, into the northern parts of Virginia, which they didn't make it. By these presents, in other words, by this document and by these statements that we're making, that's what, when it says by these presents, means this presentation. Solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together in a civil body politic. We are making a country. We're going to make a little country right here, us 120 people on this boat. We're making a little country all by ourselves. You know you can do that. Into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation. Ordering and preservation. Those are good goals, aren't they? In other words, you want to maintain order and you want to preserve your people, your individuals. And the furtherance of the ends aforesaid. So that's the purpose. That's not you can go read the rest of the document somewhere, but that's the purpose of the document. Now, I want to read a little bit out of what the Declaration of Independence says, because we're making a kind of creating a we're walking through how the concepts that this nation was founded on. Again, was it created as a Christian nation? They weren't getting them off the boat. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you saved? You're not saved? Well, you go off the back of the boat. You know, in other words, you don't get to be in this country. No, never. No, that was never the case. So a Christian nation is not that. A nation that's Christian, if you want to talk about Christian nationalism, because everybody's angry about that right now, is that the fact that the laws of this nation were founded on Christian principles, on the principles that God loves every man and has offered to every man the way of salvation. And every man will have the opportunity to receive that, but every man also has an equal opportunity to do everything they need for life and liberty and happiness. Thank God for that. That wasn't a secular idea. Secular idea is kill and be killed. A secular idea is, we had a former pastor here, still a pastor somewhere, Robert Moir. He used to say, "Here's the golden rule for people, for secularism is do others before they do you." That's the golden rule for dog, or Jim used to say, dog eat dog. You know, glory to God, that's our nation, dog eat dog. Well, no, that didn't say that in here. It said there is a nature's God. Amen? So he says, when in the course, this is Thomas Jefferson, when in the course of human events, and this is the Declaration of Independence, it becomes necessary. So you've got a course. Human events are bumping along, do-do-do-do-do, you know, hundreds of years, thousands of years. And when in the course of human events, sometime, it becomes necessary at some point for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them. Interesting word, entitles. So these are our statements. Is that there comes a time when it may be necessary to separate ourselves, the political bands that join one nation to another, to assume among the powers of the earth. Basically, it's like Judah is down at A&M. Now he's up in Wyoming. Brazos is coming home, your daughter. She's still under your authority. Judah, he's right on the edge. He's right on the edge. Our kids are right on the edge of assuming their position as a separate and independent being, separate and independent person under God. That's what they're talking about here. When it becomes time for one group of people to separate themselves from another group. Now, in this case, it was because of egregious grievances. But we want our kids to do that, don't we? We want them to be under God, no longer under us. That's how God wants it. He wants your kids to raise up your children so that they'll be under God. They're separate and equal station. See, Judah will be equal to you. My kids are equal to me. I'm no longer over them. They are my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Right? Okay, separate and equal station. Now we're talking about nations. To which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them. So God has given everybody an equal station, and everybody is entitled under God to live under Him, under His laws, to reap the benefits and the blessings of living under God. So that was the idea here, is that because of England's egregious grievances against and King George against the colonists, that this is God, this is God's liberty and provision, so that we might live under Him in an equally free and honored state. We don't have to live under you, because kings, see, had the idea that you're under the king, you're forever under the king. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. And that's, of course, what this document is. In other words, if you're going to leave, you've got to tell why. It's just right to do. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and are endowed by their Creator. Here's the Creator again. Remember, God and nature's God before? Now, they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of... And then it goes on to talk about how you can change it. So in other words, you set, because God has given you, by His authority, He's given you the right to govern yourself. All right? So he says, now, who is going to do this? The Constitution of the United States says in simplicity, in just the preamble before it starts talking about the formation of the government, he says, the preamble says, we the people, because we were just talking about people, right? We were just talking about people and people's rights under God in the Declaration, correct? So he says here now, we the, who? People. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish just... Now, watch what we're doing. Form a more perfect union. What did he talk about over here in the Mayflower Compact? Ordering and preserving. Ordering ourselves and preserving ourselves. We join ourselves together as a civil body politic. Well, here we have in the first paragraph of the introduction of the... of the Constitution. So we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union and more things, to establish justice, to ensure domestic tranquility, to provide for the common defense, to promote the general welfare, and to secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity, our children, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. In other words, here's the reason we're creating this document. And the interesting part of it is when they do that, that's the end of that sentence, period, for the United States of America, boom, period. And it immediately goes to Article 1, Section 1, all legislative power shall be granted and vested in the Congress. So in other words, it just goes about to describe and outline the government of the United States that the people have ordained and established. And of course, there at the end, in the 10th Amendment of the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments that were passed not long after this Constitution was passed, is that anything that's not covered, any items that are not given to the government, any responsibilities that aren't given to the government, are reserved for the states or the people. I mean, if you go back and go read this Constitution, you're going to find out that there are a lot of things in there that you can see today that probably or shouldn't even be here. And a lot of them we kind of enjoy, like Medicare, yeah. Social Security, yay. It's not in there. We're going to take money from everybody else. We're going to make everybody pay a tax and give it to everybody else, you know. So I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying the people have to decide. If the people decide. All right, so, and there are so many top-heavy organizations in the executive branch. You created, you know, all these ABC organizations, right? All these, you know, FDA, ICBM, you know, whatever it is. You know, all kinds of things that you've created, these alphabet organizations or alphabet agencies that have authority over people. And I didn't vote for any of those. So all of the point being here is that the government of the United States was set up so that we might have liberty to follow God. Religious liberty to follow God. It's all under nature and nature's God. So the government is not above God. God is above government. God is always above government. Is the church above government? No. No, the church operates outside of government, but not against government. In other words, if we start killing people in the church, now we'll go to jail. You know, if you start stealing stuff from people, you'll go to jail. Because that is part of your citizenship of this world. You are a citizen of this world, and in our case, of this nation, then you're under the laws of this nation. God set that up over in Romans chapter 13. He says, He is the minister of God to thee for good. If he bears the sword, he does not bear the sword in vain. In other words, if you start messing up, and if you start abrogating the laws of God and nature's God, the minister of government is going to put you in jail. He may kill you. He may, you know, stop you in whatever way that's necessary. But he is the minister of God to thee for good. And if he ceases to be good in this nation, unlike many others, we can get rid of him. So it's important for us to, as a citizen, not the church, but because we are men and women of God who understand the kingdom of God and the word of God and the love of God, it's incumbent upon us to create a society that will bring about the freedom and liberty for the gospel to be preached and not hindered. Freedom for the church to operate and not be hindered and not ruled by the state, not hindered by the state. So thank God for this place. But it's also incumbent upon each one of us, if you know, in James 5:14, where it says that, you know, if it's in your hand to do good and you do it not, to you it's sin. In other words, you have an opportunity to do good. What? To have children not reading pornography in the schools. Well, go elect Christians to the school board. Well, it's too hard. No, it's not too hard. You're too lazy. God said, He said, you know, if it's in your power to do good and you do it not, so it's not on the government telling you. It says, God says, listen to him. If it's in your power to do good and you do it not. What are we talking about? We're talking about July 4th. We're talking about the independence of this nation to deliver itself because it's incumbent upon those who know God and to hear his voice to set themselves, if at all possible, in a situation where you will be ruled by God and not by men. You are under God and not men. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. So who's in charge? When God says pray for kings and those who are in authority in this country, who's that? It's you. Because you are the ones who are in authority, aren't you? Are you in authority? Of course you are, because you are the boss of the president. I am? Well, doggone it, yes. You are the boss of the president. You elect leaders. Remember in Exodus 18, we were talking, almost talked about that, is that when Jethro gave this idea to Moses, he says, set yourself people over thousands, over hundreds, over 50s, over 50s and tens, and you judge over the major matters, and you set these guys up to judge over the smaller matters. You organize a governmental situation where everybody is blessed, and you're not weighted down. Over in Acts chapter 6, when the widows came to the disciples, hey, things aren't going right in this church here. The Gentiles are getting neglected in the daily distribution. In other words, there were administrative problems, right? They just had a church now of 3,000 people that just got established because everybody got saved. And now they're all hanging out together. But there are certain things. People are trying to get food. People are trying to get stand in line for the restroom. You know, there's all kinds of organizational hurdles that people are trying to get through. And so he says, so instead of coming to the guys who are doing the preaching of the Word of God, the apostles got together and said, choose you out among you. They command, told the people. Who'd they tell to do this? The people who were complaining. The people. They came to the people and said, choose you out among you. Seven men of honest report, full of the holy faith and full of the Holy Ghost. How many know you ought to be electing people who are full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost to it that we may appoint over this matter? So we appoint people over these matters. That's the reason for government and agencies is to appoint them over these, to administrate these things that need to be administrated, but you get people full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. Not just some guy who looks good on television. You know, oh, he's good looking. Let's elect him, you know. So you want to elect somebody who is qualified to do that particular kind of work. You know, thankfully, you can't, I'll say thankfully, I don't know if this is totally true, but you can't elect a judge who doesn't have a law degree, who's not a lawyer. You know, in most, I think in all the 50 states, you can't elect someone to as a judge who doesn't know anything about the law. You know, you can't elect dog groomer to be a judge, you know, over a district court. You got to have somebody who knows the law. So that's what you want to do, is you want to make sure that you've got people who know how to do something. But first of all, you want to make sure that they know the living God. Now, I'll grant you, there are some Christians who are wacky. So don't appoint a wacky one either. Amen? Now, some people may think I'm wacky. I pray in other tongues. That's okay. God told me to. He said so in his book, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, his spirit prays and his understanding is unfruitful. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Paul said, I would that you all spoke with tongues. Well, that all passed away. No, he never said it passed away. It's still there in my mind because he never said it did. So now, All of that to say is that we are bringing, I'm encouraging you and Christians all over the place, of course, you guys know we work with a group called Christians Engaged, that brings believers and pastors to a place where they will become involved in these things. Why? So that the gospel may be preached in all the world without being hindered. Amen? And so that people are under a godly society. They don't have to be Christians. They can just enjoy being under a godly society. So we don't teach our children that they can do surgeries on their bodies and get rid of their body parts. And if you think if you want to be a girl, you can. If you're a boy and you think you want to be a girl, that you could do that. Everybody knows that's ridiculous. Even the people who are preaching it. But it sure does make a lot of money. All of these things. And yes, do we want to hinder that? Absolutely. We want to hinder people who are transitioning children. We want to hinder human trafficking. We want to hinder. No, most everybody wants to do that. And we want to hinder, all of these, because God says, be fruitful and multiply to Adam and Eve, to a man and a woman. Now we have a Supreme Court case that said it's okay for men and men to marry men and women to marry women. God doesn't say that. Well, don't you love people? Yeah, we love people. That's why we say that. God doesn't say that. Because you can't multiply. You can't fulfill the command of God. You can't be fruitful and multiply if you don't marry the person that's going to help you multiply. Amen? Well, we can get around that. We can, hire a woman or something. No. This is not God's best. I don't want God's best. I want what I want. No, you're in trouble then. So we make it difficult. Do we make it difficult to sin? Sure. Because that's going to destroy our society. A society that continuously sins is degrading and falling apart and becomes like Babylon. I was reading over in Jeremiah chapter 51 that God was destroying Babylon. See, any place can be Babylon, though. Did you know that? Any nation can degrade to Babylon. This nation has degraded to that. But God is still on the throne. And as we continue to pay attention to who we're electing, so pay attention to who you're electing. What's the bottom line? Pay attention to who you're electing. We, the people, in order to form a more perfect union, do establish and ordain this Constitution for ourselves and for our posterity. These laws are under nature and nature's God. Our Creator created us with certain undeniable rights, unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So that's why we have created, that's why God allowed this nation to be created off between two coasts at a distance and caused us to be a light for so many years. And now it seems like, people are looking at us going, ooh, man, ooh, ooh, they do that, ooh. God is for you. And God desires to make this nation a light in the earth. Again, amen? Not for anything more than to reach people for Jesus. There's only one purpose in the earth for the church. Make no mistake that I'm preaching against it. I'm not preaching on anything else. It's that Jesus Christ be made known and available to every person in the earth. You'll notice as sin has increased, church attendance has declined. People are worshiping other gods. When we neglect to uphold the godly foundations, and we let things slide, then we are losing the ability to have a voice in the earth. I said it last night in Hebrews chapter 2. It said, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. In other words, give the more earnest heed. Give more attention to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Don't let them slip. Meditate upon the Word of God. Joshua said that. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Somewhere in sin there it said, or observe to do them. And it's not because God's, going to hit you with a 2x4. He said, this is the way to life. I set before you life and death. Choose life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the day that we celebrate, which is now about 2 weeks ago, July 4th, our Declaration of Independence from England. But it was also our declaration of dependence upon God to govern ourselves. So as we meditate upon these things, and as we seek your face and seek your word, and Father, as we elect godly and righteous people, and in fact examine the laws that are being passed, whether they're righteous or whether they're ungodly, Father, show us that it's important for us to maintain a vigilant observation so we do not let these things slip. And we observe to do them. We give you praise and we give you thanks. Father, if there's anybody here who does not know Jesus, you can know him today. Receive him. He died on the cross for you. Took all of your sins that separated you from God. And said, if you'll only believe that I took all of your sins and you come and trust me, that you will live eternally in fellowship with Jesus and the Father and be infilled by the Holy Spirit to walk in joy and peace and have all you need supplied through Christ Jesus. So receive him today. Say, Father, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. And he loved the Father himself, loves me. And he will transform and change me into his image, starting right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you pass out the communion? Jack, can you help? That'd be great. Yeah, I don't want to push Raul around too much. Hallelujah. If you know the Lord Jesus, you're born again. We invite you to participate in the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus today. If you're not born again, you can get born again before we start. Just by saying, Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins and rose again for my justification. Hallelujah.